You'll be aware that towards the end of last year, I started talking about what are our foundation stones as a church community. And over my previous two talks on the subject, we've looked at how there are the stories of the three little pigs, and in the Bible, the house that is built on the sand and the rock. And that's important that we recognize what we are building with and what we are building on. And for us as Stroud Christian Fellowship, the rock that we build on, the foundations that we build on, is Jesus Christ. And I also talked about this, your Bible, and how in 2 Timothy 3:16, it says that all scripture, that's all of the word of God, is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses this, he uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. This is the word of God. It's foundational. It helps us to recognize that we are building using the right materials, building in our lives, building in our church. And so far, together, we have covered these subjects over the last two talks. The kingdom of God, what it means to have new life and new birth. What is positive repentance? How we need to have active faith. If we don't have faith, it's impossible to please God. That's what the Bible says. We've looked at the Lordship of Christ and how Jesus has to be both Lord and Savior. We've looked at baptism in water, baptism in the Holy Spirit. We've looked at the role of the church locally, nationally, and internationally. We've looked at how we meet and how church is so much more than meetings. But today, I want to look at just two subjects. How do we get to know God? And what do we mean living for God? So, getting to know God. First thing I want to say, and I know you will have heard this many times, many of you, but Christianity is not a religion. It's not. It's a relationship. Becoming a Christian means becoming a follower or a disciple of Jesus. The original Christians weren't called Christians, they were called followers of the way of Jesus. This means we have to get to know him, getting to understand how he thinks, starting to do what he wants, not because we must, but because we want to please him, to be like him. In John 14:15, Jesus says, "If you love me, obey my commandments." And John 14:21 says, "Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them. And I will love them and I will reveal myself to each of them." The more we follow Jesus, the more we become like him. Just at Christmas, we had the grandkids around and Rose and John were there. And we were playing a game of hide and seek. Sue and I don't have to try too hard to hide in the kids while they do their stuff. But there was one particular occasion, I was doing the counting, and I was going, 1, 2, 3, 4, I'm going to come and find you, 5. And all of a sudden, Rose came belting downstairs, and she says, "Where's Daddy? Where's Daddy? I heard Daddy." She had heard, in my voice, Daddy's voice, her Daddy's voice. Because Matthew is my son, and Matthew grew up with me, and those intonations and those inflections are the same. This happens when we follow Jesus. The inflections and the patterns of Jesus become part of who we are. When we put our trust in Jesus, we become children of God, adopted into the family of God. John 1, verse 12 and 13 says, "But to all who believed in him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God." They are reborn. Not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or a plan, but a birth that comes from God. When Jesus chose his disciples, he called them first to be with him, to get to know him, to become his friends, to watch him in action, to learn from him. And it is from this position of close friendship that Jesus sent the disciples out to work for him. Mark 3 tells us that he appointed 12 of them. He called them his apostles, we know as disciples, and they were to accompany him. And he would send them out to preach. We need to learn this lesson. God has got work for each one of us to do, but we need to get to know him, to understand him, to accompany him. We are human beings, not human doings. We need to learn the secret of being with God. This intimate, close relationship is the most important thing there is. It is the secret of eternal life. John 17, verse 3 says, "And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth." There is no other way. We need to get to know Jesus. You might be familiar with the story of Jesus on his way to Jerusalem, and he stops at a house, and there are two sisters there called Mary and Martha. Let's read this short passage, shall we? "As Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he taught. But Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, 'Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me.' But the Lord said to her, 'My dear Martha, you're worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about, and Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her.'" I wonder if you were to identify yourself in that situation, which one are you? Are you Mary or are you Martha? I think if we're honest, a lot of us are Marthas. There's so much to do. We've got to do this and we've got to do that and we've got to do the other. This dinner isn't going to cook itself. The house isn't going to clean itself. But we need to take time to sit at the feet of Jesus. All of the stuff that Martha had to prepare, none of it was bad. Jesus wasn't saying, "You've not got to do it." But he was recognizing that Mary had found something really good to sit at the feet of Jesus. If you've done the Lectio course, or if you've done the Be Still course that we did at the cross on Wednesday evenings, you'll be very familiar with this verse. "Be still and know that I am God." You know, sometimes we have to deliberately take ourselves out of certain situations, certain areas of our lives, in order to concentrate, to focus on being with Jesus. So how do we communicate with God? Well, we mainly communicate in three ways. We've done all three this morning. There's praise and adoration. It can be prayers of thanks. It could be music. It could be joining with worship. But we adore our God. That is primarily us to God. Then there's reading the Bible. The Word of God. The inspiration of God. Do you know this is one of the main ways that God communicates to us? It's not the only way. But it's one of the main ways we read. What is God's heart? How does God want to communicate? Through his Bible. And then there's prayer. Prayer is two ways. It's not just us going, "Oh, God, would you give me this? God, would you give me that? God, will you do the other?" God is a two-way conversation. I love the acronym, the Acts of Prayer, ACTS. Adoring God. Confessing before him, "God, I'm sorry for the stuff I've done wrong." T is thank you. Thank you, God, for this, and thank you, God, for that, and thank you for the other. We should be a thankful God. And you notice I haven't asked for a thing yet. And then the S, the acts, the A-C-T-S. S, big word, supplications, but it just means asking God for stuff. Asking God to intervene in situations. We should be people who pray regularly in a two-way communication. I'd encourage you, keep in touch with God throughout the day. And if you're like me, who keeps awake quite a bit at night too, use those moments to pray, to hear God's voice. It is a very special relationship that we have the privilege of being in with God. I think too that it's great if you can keep a special time set aside each day. Morning, noon, night, you choose what works for you. Maybe find a special place, a place that you set aside and say, this is when I come here with the expectation that this is just me and God. These times used to be called quiet times as I grew up in the church in my youth. I'm not so sure quiet times should always be quiet. We can praise, we can rejoice, we can sing. Sometimes you've just got to shout at God and he's big enough to take it. But it's really important we stay in contact with God. So that's getting to know God. Number two is we need to learn to live for God. Being a Christian means that we've got work to do. And this work is built on the closeness that we have with God because it has to be done his way, with his power and in his timing. Just like Jesus, we need to learn the secret of spending time with God so that we can know what it is he wants us to do and when and how he wants us to do it. In John 5, Jesus explained, I tell you the truth. The Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son also does. It's, if you like, here's a reminder that Jesus is truly human. But in order to do the God stuff, he needs to stay in such close contact with his Heavenly Father. And when God sees God doing something, he does it. Imagine what it would be like if we had that same relationship where we only do what we see and hear the Father doing. God is more interested in working in us than through us. He doesn't wait for us to be perfect before he uses us. Believe me, I know that. God wants to use you from right now, from where you are. Because it's the Holy Spirit of God who gives us the power to live for Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit that works within us to change us. He is the Holy Spirit of God. And so he will work to make us much more like him. He will show us the things in our thoughts and actions which please him. And that's great. But he'll also show us the things that don't. And as we listen to him and ask for his help, he will give us the power to change. I want you to remember that that's not always instant. It's not always easy, but it's also always possible because it's God at work in our lives. So don't restrict your Christianity to Sunday mornings here or to other meetings. God wants you to be used and to be effective every day, everywhere, wherever you happen to be. You are part of God's plan at that moment. Two slightly longer passages as we come to the end. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2 says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and a holy sacrifice, the kind that he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behaviors and the customs of this world. In fact, the J.B. Phillips version of this says, do not allow the world to pour you into its mold. But instead, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Who doesn't want that? And then Paul, writing to the church in Galatia, he wrote this about how they lived their lives. And this is great for us to pick up on. Paul said, I say to you, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But, I love it when you see that word but in Scripture. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and the desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. They are left there dead. So since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. These verses show us the secret of living Jesus style. We need the Holy Spirit and we need to follow his leading. And when we do make mistakes, is anyone here never made a mistake? Oh, two hands say they've never made a mistake. Well, the biggest mistake you just made was putting your hands up. You see, we all make mistakes, don't we? We all get it wrong. And we need to learn to ask God to forgive us, to be sorry, to put things right. The good news is that whenever we do it, and no matter how many times we've done it, God forgives us. He makes us clean for the wrong stuff we've done. 1 John 1:8 and 9 says, if we claim we have got no sin, we're only fooling ourselves. We're not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. I loved it when I found this particular picture because I think this sums up, doesn't it? So often we end up trapped, bound by chains because we're trying to work things out ourselves. And sometimes we just got to come and say sorry and receive forgiveness, and forgiveness breaks the chains and lets us soar. It's really important as we live our Christian life to keep short accounts with God. So, that's it. I want to summarize my talk for you. One, get to know God. Two, live for God. Get to know God. Be intentional about it. Don't think Sundays here at SCF are all you need. Talk to him often. Read your Bibles and live for God. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide you. What you want in your life is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. That will change you. And if you can get hold of these two things, it will change your life and our life as a church for the better forever. Thank you.